It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a quick mention here that as the impact of COVID-19 grows in Wisconsin, our WPR reporters are stationed around the state to bring you the latest news and developments. You can find a hive of information and ask your questions at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, we're talking about homeschooling those kids. Schools are currently not operating anywhere in the country. At least 41 states have extended their statewide school closures through the remainder of the school year, including Wisconsin. So parents, how are you getting through this? What routines have been working for you? Where are you struggling? What resources have you found to be helpful to keep the learning going? We're at 800-642-1234. Becky Wojahn is the library media specialist at Memorial High School in Eau Claire. She's worked in libraries from preschool to college levels, and she writes children's books under the pen name W.H. Beck. Becky, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Caroline Akervik is here as well, library media coordinator for the Eau Claire Area School District, and previously she was an elementary school library media specialist. She's also the author of several middle grade and young adult novels. Caroline, welcome back to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
So I understand you two have really put together this vast array of resources, and we're going to pick through them during our time together, but before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the frustration and about the expectations that we parents are feeling right now, because it is really hard to keep this learning going. Caroline, what can you say about that?
Well, I think parents have to alter their expectations about what they think should happen with their child at home. For example, you're not going to be able to recreate a traditional school day at home, and you shouldn't expect to. You should realize that this is a very unique time, and we have to be more flexible. I mean, you can't schedule, okay, at 8:15 we're going to be doing math, at 12 o'clock we're going to be doing our science activity. Instead, we have to look at the day kind of differently and have different expectations for our kids.
Becky, what about you? What is recommended? What's manageable right now for doing the schooling from home?
Well, I think, I think Caroline's right. You know, this is new for all of us, and not just parents, you know, teaching their kids in their house, but it's kids have never done it before and teachers have never done it before. School districts have never done this before. So everybody's kind of figuring out what's appropriate. I think it's really important, like Caroline said, that, you know, it's not going to look like a typical school day. Right now, the Eau Claire School District's recommending for high schoolers about an hour and a half of learning per week. So if you think about that, it's about 2.5 hours a day of learning that they're expected to do. And that's because we know that kids and families, they have a lot of other stuff on their plate right now. So I think just kind of loosening up those expectations a little bit, being flexible. Most kids can't sit still for, you know, more than 15, 20 minutes. They need a change of gears. So just being aware of that and working with your kids is going to solve a little bit of frustration, I think.
Caroline, remember before the pandemic when we were seeing those reports from education researchers saying, you know, we've structured too much time in our kids' day, too much, you know, from soccer to piano to karate to this to that. They don't have enough unstructured time. And I've been thinking about that research and laughing and thinking, well, now they've got it and we're watching it.
Exactly. And I think, well, you know, it's obviously not a blessing, but it is a moment to kind of catch our breaths, and that's how we have to look at it. And, you know, Becky and I were talking about this a little bit, and it's a really special time where kids can pursue an interest because they have the time to. And I also think teachers understand and schools understand kids aren't going to come back in the fall as if they had been through a usual school year. So teachers are going to meet your kids where they are. And we don't need to worry about shoving in all the content and expecting our kid to reach, you know, the usual year-end goals. That's just not realistic, because when they come back, hopefully in the fall, the teachers will have adjusted their expectations and prepare to lead your child or teach your child to grow so that they can, you know, achieve the learning that they need to.
Well, let's look at some of these both online and offline type learning experiences. Caroline, you know, not everyone has reliable broadband access or even reliable internet. So what are some learning resources that really don't require being online and on the internet?
Well, I think there are a lot of activities that just go on at the home that provide learning opportunities. For example, cooking as a math lesson. I know that I've seen several math coaches put on videos on Facebook and things like that of cooking, you know, reading the ingredients, measuring things out, looking at the cost of the items used to prepare a certain meal or a treat, you know, depends on the situation. So cooking is a great opportunity for teaching. Board games. Board games, we've played more board games than I think we have in a decade at my home. And it really is a great learning opportunity. I mean, you think about cribbage, old school games like that, Risk, Monopoly, these are all opportunities to play with math. In addition, crafts that we haven't explored in a long time, drawing, crocheting, knitting. Becky, I think the outdoors, the journaling piece, would you like to share on that?
Yeah, that's something that I'm really interested in and that I personally like. But this is a great time. You know, in my family, we've been counting as one of our blessings that at least this didn't happen during the winter time. And, you know, being able to go outside and just kind of keep a journal of observations of what's happening in your yard or your park or out your window. And John Muir Laws does some nature journaling, and he's actually putting on, this is an online opportunity, but he's doing videos a few times a week to kind of get kids and people going. It's not just a kid thing, really. But just kind of having, you know, kids slow down and observe and draw what they see and notice what's changed, record the weather. There's a lot of really interesting opportunities you can do.
Yeah, sidewalk chalk, a lot of that can come in handy right now as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, we're playing a ton of Boggle at our house. And let me tell you, I'm getting creamed suddenly because the more we play, the better the kids get.
Exactly. We had a marathon three-night Risk session. I'm not going to say it ended well, but it was a lot of fun.
And we've been doing lots and lots of puzzles, which, you know, is a whole different kind of learning of that spatial awareness and, you know, different observation skills. So, yeah, just taking time. And then as parents, knowing that that's learning, you know, that's okay to spend time doing that. And even though it's not called schoolwork, it's, you know, spending that time with your kid or having your kid work on that while you work on your work is totally okay.
We're talking with educators and library media specialists, Caroline Akrovic and Becky Wojahn. They're helping us through the mini online, the offline, at-home learning resources. And students, we want to hear from you. How is your learning going? Are you struggling to stay focused at home? Have you been doing projects or reading? How have you passed the time? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Richard now in Two Rivers. Hi, Richard.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on the air.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a comment, and I'll take the answer offline, and I'll make it quick. I agree with everything your experts are saying, except for the fact the reality is I have friends that have worked in factories, and now they're home with their children, and they're online trying to follow a curriculum that generous teachers are putting forth. And sometimes the curriculum is not an hour and a half a week. Sometimes it's like 6 hours a day and they have to do this, this, and this, and they can't keep up. They don't know what to do. And that's all I need to say.
Richard, thank you so much for bringing that up. And Richard, I think is hitting on something that is really important to say is that there is a lot of information, a lot of logins, a lot of emails coming our way as parents. Caroline, first, how should we be responding to this?
Well, I do have a child. I have a child in high school still, and I'm seeing it. But one thing, first of all, I appreciate your comments, Richard, and they're right on. Teachers aren't really initially, I mean, this is all new to many of our teachers who haven't been, have never had to teach online before. And so I think initially the teachers were struggling to figure out how much time is appropriate. I have children in college level courses. They found that their work and the amount of time that they're actually spending doing, you know, in-class activities has exploded exponentially. And that's, again, because teachers are learning too. So my suggestion would be, if you're experiencing a situation where your child is spending way too long on the computer, attempting to get their schoolwork done, reach out to that teacher, explain, it is too much right now. And the teachers will understand because they're learning too.
Becky, do you want to jump in here as well?
Yeah, I agree. I think the instinct, well, for all of us in education is, you know, we want to do something. So it looks like right now putting out more and more information and trying to connect with kids in so many different ways. And that can be really overwhelming for parents and families and kids as well. I agree with Caroline. If it's an unmanageable thing, I would reach out to the teacher. Most educators at this time are trying to be as flexible as possible. We know situations are strange and scary and unusual for every family. And so most people will work with a family and figure out what's a good balance. So, and that's good feedback too, because sometimes as a teacher, when you're putting stuff online, you don't really know how long it's going to take. You don't realize that just the logging in part took 20 minutes instead of the lesson, you know. Mm-hmm. So getting that feedback will be valuable for those teachers as well.
We're talking with library media professionals in Eau Claire. We have Becky Wojan with us, Caroline Akrovic. So teachers, let's hear from you. How are you adapting to this all virtual teaching world? What resources have you found to work for your students? How are you encouraging them in this situation? And can you reach all of your students? Have you been able to be part of this? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. By the way, we have a list of all the resources that we're discussing here and more at WPR.org/mornings. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. The morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about homeschooling amid this pandemic. And I will level with you. Most days I feel frustrated. I feel overwhelmed to try to provide distance learning for kids in multiple grades, all at different stages of learning. And the teachers in my school, they are incredible. They're working so hard, and I feel like I need to put in the same amount of effort. But to keep up with all the learning apps and the logins and the video meetups and emailed assignments, it's hard to keep track, to stay on top of it. So parents, how is it going for you? Reach out, let us know, 800-642-1234. We have Becky Wojan, a library media specialist at Memorial High School in Eau Claire, Caroline Akrovic, library media coordinator for the Eau Claire Area School District, and they stay with us. Let's bring in another call. Now Merlin is joining us from Oak Creek. Hi, Merlin.
Good morning. I'm getting myself ready for work, so somebody may have covered this topic before when I put my phone down, but I had to disagree with some of your people on the show about, oh, this is all so new and what are we going to do type of thing. There's a whole lot of people in the state of Wisconsin that homeschool their kids all the time. Why can't they, you know, isn't there some kind of an organization of these homeschool parents that you could contact and see what they do, all, you know, 12 months out of the year?
Merlin, very good point. Caroline, we could look to the homeschooling population out there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's Merlin's point is excellent. However, the teachers who are experiencing challenges and the families who are experiencing challenges haven't always used the homeschool model. We also do have virtual schools, but those teachers who teach in virtual schools have been trained and have learned the skills to teach in that model. What's challenging now is we have teachers and families who are having to teach in these in a very different environment, an at-home learning environment, which they had not expected or anticipated, and they had to learn to do it really fast after the middle of March.
Let's bring in Paula now in Neillsville with thoughts on this. Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes,
how are
you? Actually,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just actually had a question. Good morning, ladies. About the parents that are still essential workers and going to work their normal 8 hours, and maybe some advice that you would have for, you know, parents who have those high school students that are sitting at home trying to do this by themselves, really. My kids go to a school district and they're not even using any, like anything like Zoom or anything to keep them engaged. They're just having them do pretty much everything by themselves. So it does concern me.
Paula, thank you. Becky, can I start with you?
Yeah. Well, I think again, I would always just kind of keep that open line of communication with the teachers, and let them know, your situation, because I know with my own, I have some library assistant students, and I have keep telling them, like, I can't know what's happening and what you need unless you communicate it, because I don't have any body language or facial expressions, you know, to tell you, you know, to let me know if you're overwhelmed or not. So just keeping that open. But I also think this kind of goes back to what we were saying, too, is it's okay if their day just looks a lot different, you know. Of course, we want to keep them going on the classes and make sure that they're checking in with their teachers every day. But it's also okay if they just read a book for a little bit of the day, and that, and we count that as learning, because it certainly is. But yeah, it's a tricky time right now. And I think mostly just kind of keeping that communication with the school and let them know that, you know, my kids are home all day, and we're doing the best we can. And that'll go a long way.
Caroline, you know, we've been hearing, too, that teens will never be the same.
Well, I've heard that also, and I do have teens. What has given me some comfort is I was reading about the children of Katrina, the children who were impacted by that terrible tragedy, and many of them ended up being out of school for extended periods of time as well. And those children, from what I understand, ended up academically eventually, you know, it takes time to catch up, but they ended up doing fine. And that kind of gives me comfort, because I do think children are resilient, people are resilient. So I guess, again, it comes back to that same theme of take a breath, pause. The kids will get there. There's no finish line they have to get to academically. We just have to be patient with it and help them emerge as unscathed as possible.
Well, Caroline, let's switch gears here for a moment and look at what libraries can do. There is now curbside pickup for libraries, but what can they offer our kids?
Well, actually, the governor has approved curbside pickup, but not all public libraries in the state of Wisconsin have implemented it yet because of safety concerns for their workers. So until that piece kind of gets worked out, right now we're looking at the digital resources available. And so it's ebooks and audiobooks. And though not everyone may choose it as their preference to read on a device, that's kind of where we are right now. And so Overdrive, Sora, and Libby, these are excellent resources available through many school districts as well as through the public library system in Wisconsin, which allow you to check out ebooks, audiobooks, and listening to reading is as good as reading. There's Freeding, there's Hoopla. Tumble Books is a fabulous resource with talking picture books, read-along chapter books, nonfiction books, and I think they also have graphic novels. Isn't that correct, Becky?
Yes, they do.
And then Team Book Cloud. These are all resources we've listed in the document we shared, and these are resources that kids can access on a device so that they can continue to grow as readers and learners.
Yeah, and we also have this at WPR.org/mornings with all these resources. Becky, what about podcasts? What do you see there?
Well, I love listening to podcasts. You know, audiobooks are fantastic, but what's great about podcasts is they come in little bite-sized chunks, and so you don't necessarily have to have that, like, continuation from day to day. And so that can be a great way to learn about science and history and all sorts of different resources. We've got some listed on the list on your website. But, like, for example, some that I love, there's one called Stuff You Missed in History Class. And it's just little known stories from history for teen audiences. And yeah, it might not be the exact curriculum that your teen is learning about, but, you know, they're still connecting to that kind of broader world and you know, what events happened in history. There's a book club for kids, which is, I love it. It's tweens discussing a middle grade book. And so they have like three different kids from around the country talk about books they love. And then on the website, those particular kids also post their favorite book. So just kind of another way for kids to kind of connect with other kids and hear, you know, what they're reading and, you know, hear about a book they might be interested in. There's all sorts of science ones, you know, from Science Friday, which is one of my favorites, to younger ones. There's one called Brains On, which is
that's a good one. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow in the world. Uh-huh. Yep. There's a lot of them out there.
That can be a great one. Like maybe Thursdays are, you know, or after lunch you listen to a podcast or, you know, it's, you can set up a schedule kind of that way too, with a little bit more downtime stuff as well. And that's a great way for learning.
Well, John from Brown Deer called in, couldn't stay with us, and wanted to share that students had all sorts of hands-on materials during his education, Lincoln Logs, model ships. And John says students were always absorbed with something in front of them rather than looking at screens and the internet, and was, you know, is kind of concerned that we should be cutting down on screen time. So what do you make of that, Caroline? How can we cut down on screen time?
Well, I think that given the circumstances right now, some screen time is to be expected. But I think there are lots of opportunities for hands-on learning. You know, I think about how my children grew up. And yes, you know, again, Becky had referred to puzzles. My youngest son loved setting up army guys. He built elaborate battles. My kids built forts with cushions, couch cushions in the living room. Pretend creative play is excellent. And it's really critical for our youngest learners. So yes, there are all sorts of opportunities in your home to do hands-on learning activities, making goop, you know, all sorts of activities that the kids can learn absolutely with their hands and not have screen time. But right now, I think there is kind of a balance that in order to stay connected with school in some situations, yes, there is some screen time involved. And that kind of brings me, I would like to bring up the whole virtual field trip piece. That is a really cool opportunity. We are, you know, kind of stuck at home, and virtual field trips allow us to see and explore the world while we're at home.
Yeah, like Smithsonian, so many cool ones out there. Thank you both so much for joining us and sharing your resources.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Becky Wojahn, Library Media Specialist at Memorial High School in Eau Claire. Caroline Akravic serves as the Library Media Coordinator for the Eau Claire Area School District. All of those resources and more can be found at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Mornings Show. Stay with us. You're listening to the Ideas Network.